When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of a resting place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I believe there is a strong reference today, not just in the Gospel, but in the Epistle and other parts of the Mass to the importance of the virtue of purity. And we know that the sins against this virtue, forbidden by the sixth and ninth commandments, are sins of weakness that are easy to commit. And sometimes these sins, whether of thought or look or action, are justified in the sense of, well, they're sins of weakness, so maybe they're not so bad. But Holy Scripture teaches us very clearly that they are truly bad. If they're done with full deliberation, they are indeed mortal sins. Whether as our Lord said, if a man looks at a woman with lust, he's committed adultery of the heart. That's a mortal sin there against the ninth commandment. And then the epistle tells us today that, and it lists all these things and says, whoever commits them will not inherit the kingdom of God. So St. Paul is putting it clearly, these are serious sins, mortal sins as well. No fornicator or unclean person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So obviously we're going to have to work hard at combating the temptations in this regard. Not start to justify things, oh, I was weak, and therefore it was somehow okay. Again, God did not fail to be very clear in his holy word of teaching us how we have to strive for virtue, how we have to overcome these temptations. You know, the average Catholic isn't going to be tempted to go and kill somebody or rob a bank and, or, you know, do these very egregious things. Everybody knows, oh, those are terrible things to do. But the average Catholic, every single average Catholic, will be tempted to offend against these commandments. How well this little saying of Jacinta, and she must have heard it from Our Lady at Fatima, say, more souls go to hell for the sins of the flesh than for any other reason. It perverts the purpose of why God gave those lawful pleasures to be had only in the state of holy matrimony. And we know that, of course, in the state of matrimony is very sanctifying because of the faults and failings you bear with from one another as spouses, all the sacrifices involved in raising children. And there's the daily duty. There's this path of sanctification for every father and mother, every husband and wife, to fulfill the duties, to accept the sacrifices, embrace the sacrifices inherent in raising a Catholic family. So, as I said, it's very clear, the message to us to combat temptations against holy purity. And one very fruitful reflection we can make during Lent, and really throughout our lives, is to think of how much our Lord suffered for our sins. And the scourging of our Lord in particular, he atoned for all of the sins of the flesh that mankind would commit. Let us remember, it was our sins and the sins of the whole world that brought all that suffering upon him. And when we consider the depth of his suffering, the depth of his desolation, we have to have our hearts filled with gratitude and say, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to not offend thee, especially by mortal sin. We know that it was mortal sin that especially brought about the death of our Lord, but all of our sins, all of our venial sins, they made him suffer. They made our sorrowful mother suffer. We have to take that responsibility. Yes, it was my sins that did that. So we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. We have to pray very much. We have to have a great devotion to Our Lady. We have to stay busy. Remember, idleness is the devil's workshop. That's where many a temptation comes, when there's boredom or idleness going on. Stay productive. Stay busy doing good things in life. And let us keep our eyes on the Lord. Let us also stay away from occasions of sin. I believe it was elicited from the devil in an exorcism a priest was doing. And of course, it's kind of hard to know for sure when the devil is telling the truth, because he's the father of lies. Remember the first lie that is recorded by Satan in Scripture? When he tempted Eve. Says, God doesn't want you to eat this fruit, because you will know as God knows. What a huge whopper of a lie. Yes, Adam and Eve began to know things that they wished they hadn't known. They began to know the evil of sin. But they certainly could never know as God knows. That was the lie the devil told to them. And he does lie over and over again. But sometimes he tells the truth. And I think that especially when under duress in an exorcism, he can be forced to tell the truth as much as he doesn't want to. But as I recall reading from this one exorcism, he was asked, "What sermon do you hate to hear being given the most?" And the devil, forced to answer, said, "The sermons on staying out of the occasion of sin." Because the devil's got the person. He's got you if you put yourself willfully in the proximate danger of sinning. No wonder he loves to see people justify putting themselves in the occasion of sin. So I think we can take that as true. So as I said, let us keep our eyes on the Lord. And I'll close with this, the opening words of the introit for today from Psalm 24. One of the ways in which we strive to keep our hearts and souls and minds, bodies pure. "My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the snare. Look thou upon me and have mercy on me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.